Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Korva Coleman. Starting in 2 hours, the House Judiciary Committee holds its second impeachment hearing. NPR's Bobby Allen says the committee will be reviewing evidence against President Trump ahead of an expected impeachment vote.
Counsel for both Democrats and Republicans will present their cases to the Judiciary Committee after a 300-page report laying out the case for impeachment was released by the Intelligence Committee, which is led by Representative Adam Schiff.
There is overwhelming evidence that the president sought to coerce Ukraine into interfering in our election, essentially sought to cheat in our next election by getting a foreign government to weigh in. That is a very serious business, and it imperils our national security.
Schiff speaking there on CBS's Face the Nation. Democrats say the charges against Trump are expected to include abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. The White House says the impeachment investigation is baseless and will not participate in the House hearings. Bobby Allen, NPR News, Washington.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is questioning the U.S. military after Friday's shooting attack at the Naval Air Station in Pensacola. A member of the Saudi Arabian Air Force killed 3 people before he was shot to death. 8 people were wounded. NPR's Greg Allen reports the attacker purchased the gun in Florida.
The FBI says the gunman, a second lieutenant in the Royal Saudi Air Force, purchased the 9mm handgun used in the attack legally. Governor DeSantis was in Pensacola for the transfer of the caskets of the 3 sailors killed in the attack onto a plane to be taken to the Air Force base in Dover. He said he was unaware of what he called a federal loophole that allows foreign nationals to buy guns.
I'm a big supporter of the Second Amendment, but the Second Amendment applies so that we, the American people, can keep and bear arms. It does not apply to Saudi Arabians.
The FBI says it's conducting the investigation under the assumption it was a terrorist attack, but hasn't yet determined a motive for the gunman. Greg Allen, NPR News, Pensacola.
The World Anti-Doping Agency is recommending 4 years of sanctions on Russia for breaking international doping rules. This comes after independent reports turned up a Russian government-sponsored doping system in Russian sports. If Russian athletes want to participate in events such as the Olympics, they'll have to be rigorously drug tested, and they cannot represent Russia in the event. At least 5 people are dead after a volcano erupted on a small island just off New Zealand's North Island. This is a tourist destination, and sightseers were exploring what's called White Island when it suddenly erupted. Several people are unaccounted for, and New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern says authorities know it.
The National Emergency Management Agency is leading the response, and an active police search and rescue operation is underway.
But New Zealand police say the site is currently too dangerous for rescuers to go ashore and search for the missing. As many as 20 people have been injured. You're listening to NPR.
This is 90.9 WBUR. Good morning, I'm Bob Oaks in Boston. Massachusetts State Supreme Court is being asked to decide if a university has a legal duty to protect students from other students. The question arises from a case involving a reported rape at Northeastern University. WBUR's Fred Tice explains.
A student became drunk at a party hosted by Northeastern Residence Assistance. The RAs allowed a male student to take her home, but instead he took her to his room where, she says, he forced her to have sex. She reported the alleged rape to the Northeastern Police Department and went to a hospital, which collected a rape kit. Northeastern says it had no duty to protect the student. It also says the assault was not reasonably foreseeable. Nothing the RAs did caused the assault, and even if they did, Northeastern is not responsible for their actions. The alleged victim says given the prevalence of sexual assault on college campuses when alcohol is present, her assault was foreseeable. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Fred Tice.
City of Boston election officials expect to have recount results by the end of the day today in the tightly contested race for the 4th City Council at-large seat. Julia Mejia leads Alejandra St. Guillen by fewer than 10 votes in unofficial results. The recount began on Saturday. A memorial honoring a Worcester firefighter killed in the line of duty will be unveiled tonight. 36-year-old Christopher Roy died last December from injuries fighting a fire at a triple-decker. Just last month, another Worcester firefighter, 39-year-old Fire Lieutenant Jason Menard, died in a triple-decker home. Menard died helping save 2 members of his crew before being trapped. Red Sox legend David Ortiz is thanking fans in his native Dominican Republic for their support as he recovers from a gunshot wound back in June. Yesterday, Ortiz made his first public appearance in the Dominican since. Authorities say a man mistakenly shot him at a bar, thinking Ortiz was someone else. Several people are charged in the case. Sports: the New England Patriots lost to the Kansas City Chiefs 23-16 last night in Foxborough. It was the Pats' first home loss in 22 games. Pats are on the road next Sunday against the Cincinnati Bengals. Celtics may have Gordon Hayward back tonight as they host the Cleveland Cavaliers. Hayward has been out for a month with a broken hand. And the Bruins are on the ice tonight as they visit the Ottawa Senators. Now the forecast. Steady rain will follow the scattered showers this morning. Temperatures are headed to the 50s today. Showers tonight, lows in the 50s. The showers end tomorrow, but in the 50s again on Tuesday. However, late Tuesday night and early Wednesday, it might get sloppy with sleet and snow. Several inches of snow could accumulate. It'll be in the 30s Wednesday, then sunny Thursday and Friday, and around 30 both days. In Boston now, 43 degrees, 37 degrees in Worcester. In Salem this morning, 44 degrees and 48 in New Bedford at 7:08.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by Vertex. Fueled by the needs of patients, families, and healthcare providers, Vertex invests in science to strike at the core of serious diseases. VRTX.com. Boston Ballet's The Nutcracker, a holiday treat for the whole family now through December 29th. Make memories to cherish with the ones you love. BostonBallet.org. And the NPR Shop, where visitors can browse public radio nerd mugs, totes, tees, and other NPR gear at nprshop.org.
This is WBUR. Bob Oakes in the studio with Jay Clayton, letting you know that we have less than 2 hours of fundraising left for the entire day today, because on this day of the WBUR year-end fundraiser, we're suspending fundraising at 9 o'clock this morning to bring you live coverage of the House Judiciary Committee impeachment hearings. But what it means is that as you listen to the news and you value the news here on WBUR, what it means is that we have to raise an entire day's worth of fundraising in the less than 2 hours to go between now and 9 o'clock this morning. And what that also means is that we need to raise $75,000 in about an hour and 50 minutes. So we're asking you to help out right now. Dial the number. It's 1-800-909-9287 or give at WBUR.org.
Some members of our Murrow Society put a match on the table to help us and help you, encourage you to help us meet this goal by 9 o'clock this morning. They will match your contribution, whatever it happens to be, dollar for dollar. You give a lump sum of, say, $50, they'll make it $100. You give $500, they'll make it $1,000. You pick the amount, it will be instantly doubled. And if you want to make a monthly contribution, they're going to match each month that you give for the next year. So a lot you can do with just a little bit of your money and a couple minutes of your time to help us meet this goal. We've got to raise all of today's fundraising goal by 9 o'clock this morning, less than 2 hours to do it. And this dollar for dollar match is going to be on the table only for 20 minutes. So it won't last until 9 o'clock. It's just for 20 minutes. All you have to do to get your contribution doubled is go to the web and give at wbur.org or give us a call at 800-909-9287.
And that's till 7:30. That's what you're saying?
Yes, 20 minutes from now.
Okay.
Yep.
So
1-800-909-9287,
WBUR.org. Time's flying for your chance to get your donation doubled, but also time's flying for your chance to get these tickets to go see Elton John in London on his very last tour, maybe his last concert of his last tour. That's next year. That's up by 9 o'clock this morning. But, you know, the point is that we're trying to encourage you to go to the phone now so that we can bring you that coverage at 9 o'clock this morning, where we have to break away for NPR's coverage of the Judicial Committee's impeachment proceedings. And there's so much other news that we want to tell you between now and then. You know, the FBI is calling that Florida attack an act of terrorism. This was at the Pensacola base. A lot of questions about why President Trump is going so out of his way to talk about how the Saudi government is sad about the shooting, when there's never a word said about other countries that other shooters might have come from. So a lot of questions around that. We want to explore all of them. We want to keep an eye on the 2020 elections and on all the news around the world and in your backyard. We do that because of you. 1-800-909-9287-WBUR.org.
Think about the value you get from listening to the news here on WBUR, and then make the gift of a pledge to WBUR while there's still time and only a few minutes left to have your gift doubled. No matter the amount, listeners putting up their money in order to encourage you to give in the next few minutes. The match, the dollar-for-dollar match that doubles your pledge, is finished in about 17 minutes at 7:30 this morning. So don't wait. Take advantage of it now. Dial the number. It only takes 2 minutes to give and have your pledge doubled at 1-800-909-9287 or give at WBUR.org. And remember, giving now also means you're in on the drawing for the Elton John tickets for the concert next year in London. Your opportunity to enter that drawing ends at 9 o'clock this morning. So again, give now.
800-909-9287 is the number to call, or you can give at WBUR.org. Just 17 minutes left to get your contribution in when it will instantly be doubled thanks to some members of our Morrow Society. They are doing all they can and hope you will too to make sure that we meet this goal. $75,000 is what we need to raise by 9 o'clock this morning, when we will shut down the fundraiser for what we believe will be the rest of the day, because these hearings we expect will go the rest of the day. So you know you're going to count on hearing them. Now we hope you will support WBUR for our ability to bring you all the news that you count on. Give when your contribution is doubled. Just 16 more minutes for that. Go to WBUR.org or call 1-800-909-9287.
Perhaps you're a little slow this morning. Perhaps you're still reacting to those terrible calls in last night's Patriots game. Shake it off. Shake it off. 1-800-909-9287, WBUR.org.
All right, so here are some of the big numbers we need to tell you about. First of all, it's the phone number. It's the pledge line. It's 1-800-909-9287, or of course you can give online at WBUR.org. Between now and 9 o'clock, we need to raise $74,000. That's the amount of money that we would normally raise in this day's worth of fundraising, an entire day. But we're stopping the fundraiser at 9 a.m. this morning to bring you live coverage of the House Judiciary Committee impeachment hearing. So we need to get it all in. We need your gift of a pledge by 9 o'clock this morning. Instead of waiting, though, for the last minute, 8:59 this morning, we're suggesting you give right now, because a group of listeners have gotten together and decided to jumpstart this thing, to put a little electricity in it. They're doubling every pledge between now and 7:30 this morning, but that's less than 15 minutes to go. So if you were going to give $50, $100, $1,000, $2,000, give it now and have it doubled. Dial the number. It's 1-800-909-9287 or give at WBUR.org while you can still get in on this doubling, this offer that will double your pledge. 7:15 in the morning, the match ends, the doubling match ends at 7:30. Give now and thanks.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by Mass General Orthopedics. New England's number one ranked orthopedics program gets you back to the life you love. Mass General, revolutionizing care. MassGeneral.org/orthopedics. And the Greater Boston Food Bank. Give the gift of a holiday meal. Just $20 provides 5 healthy meals. Give at gbfb.org/holidays.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Rachel Martin.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. Here is the starting point for Rachel Rojas of the FBI in Pensacola, Florida.
We are, as we do in most active shooter investigations, work with the presumption that this was an act of terrorism.
The presumption. The Bureau's special agent in charge was talking about an attack inside a U.S. military base. A gunman opened fire at the Pensacola Naval Air Station. He was a member of Saudi Arabia's Air Force, and authorities say he killed 3 people on Friday. Now, first, reports are often murky or just wrong after an incident like this. The passage of a few days gives better perspective, so let's work through what's known with NPR's Greg Allen, who's on the line. Greg, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Basic question first. What was a Saudi Air Force officer doing on a U.S. base?
Well, you know, this is a longstanding program for many decades. The U.S. has trained foreign military on its military bases, and it's not just Saudi Arabia, it's many countries. And the idea behind this is that it helps build closer ties with the military abroad, professionalizes them. And a lot of people have spoken up in favor of this in the wake of this shooting. But one of the shooter here, the gunman, was one of a number of Saudis who was training at the Naval Air Station in Pensacola. There's a bunch of other Saudis on the base still. The FBI says none of them have been detained. There have been no arrests. And the FBI says the Saudi commanding officer on the base has restricted the trainees to some parts of the base. And they're all cooperating with investigators at this point.
Okay, so one individual definitely of interest. And who was he exactly?
Well, his name is Mohammed Saeed Al-Shamrani. He was a second lieutenant in the Royal Saudi Air Force. More than that is not really being disclosed at this point by the FBI. They say they have not yet determined a motive for the gunman. As you say, they're pursuing it as if it can be terrorism to keep that avenue open. Other U.S. officials, though, seem ready to say this was terrorism and that's an attack that was based on ideology. Among them was Robert O'Brien, the president's national security advisor, who said yesterday he thought that the gunman had been radicalized.
What verified information is there about his actions leading up to the shooting and during the shooting?
Well, we know he was in the country for a few years, and he received training here in Pensacola and also at other military bases, including language training elsewhere. And he'd been back to Saudi Arabia in the meantime. But there's a lot that the FBI won't say about all the reports that are out there. People are getting these from sources. So we'll stick with what we can confirm at this point. Right before the shooting, there was a post on a Twitter account that's been has the same name, the last name as the gunman, and that Twitter account accused America of crimes against Muslims. Officials won't confirm. Twitter later took that account down, and officials won't confirm whether that has any link that really was his account or not. But it does raise some questions.
And one of those questions, of course, is the motive. Another is whether that motive would be described as terrorism. We heard the FBI special agent speak of a presumption that it's terrorism, but she says we would presume all the time that it's terrorism. What about this other question of whether this particular shooter acted alone?
Right. Well, that's one of the questions that they're looking at. At this point, they have, like I say, have made no arrests. They say they have no reason to believe there's any threat of another attack here. So they don't believe, they've not indicated they believe there's anyone else involved in this case at this point. We know that he legally purchased a 9mm handgun in Florida. They wouldn't give us any details about that. Yesterday, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis raised questions about that, calling that a federal loophole. Why should Saudi Arabians be able to buy guns here, he asked. And he also wants them to vet foreign nationals better and, you know, ensure safety of those on the military bases.
Okay, Greg, thanks for the update. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
That's NPR's Greg Allen. Now, what are the implications of an attack like this? Juliette Kayyem joins us next. She is a longtime specialist in Homeland Security and was a top official at the Department of Homeland Security during the Obama administration. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's it tell you when an attack like this comes on a military base, which sounds like it ought to be secure?
It ought to be secure, and they're secure on the perimeter, whether it's fencing or walls. They definitely have military police, but we have federal prohibitions against people being armed on military facilities. So in many ways, it is not surprising to me that it was a sheriff's deputy, someone from the outside who came and ultimately killed Mohammed Al-Shamrani.
Oh, this is a really valuable detail here. Yeah. You have hundreds or even thousands of people on a base,
right,
who know how to use firearms, but they keep them all in the lockers except specified times, right?
Exactly. So we do have military police, so you can imagine sort of you have your outside perimeter, but because he's the equivalent of an insider threat, right? He comes and goes because he's badged, because he is a student there. So he was able to bring a gun in. And the real question is, of course, his lawful purchasing of a gun. He was here on what's called a non-immigrant visa that applies to these military liaison programs. Federal loophole allows people here on a military non-immigrant visa to purchase guns lawfully. That's a loophole that ought to be looked at given the circumstances of this case.
Would people in these military liaison programs be in some way vetted by U.S. security authorities before being let into the United States?
Absolutely. There's a vetting process done by the Department of Defense. It looks at three major categories: drug use, mental stability or instability, and then, of course, ties to terrorism. That vetting goes at the process of entry into the United States. And, of course, you know, we work with a country like Saudi Arabia to learn more about him. That vetting is not recurring. And so once he's in, he's in. So we're both dependent on Saudi Arabia in terms of the information they give us about that individual. And then just an assumption that his mental status, his radicalization or whatever else remains the same. And so I think one of the big questions coming out of this is, should that vetting process be recurring by the Department of Defense? And a similar question is, did Saudi Arabia pick up on anything about him, because he is going back home at various times, that they ought to have alerted us to?
Just to clarify both things you're saying there, the question about it being recurring is important because he came 3 years ago. So somebody checked him out 3 years ago. Who knows what was happening with
him? Exactly. A lot can happen in 3 years. I think the assumption that it was terrorism, as the FBI saying, is right, just given his background, given that it was a military facility, and given, of course, some of the reporting that, Greg was talking about potential radicalization. But, you know, that is a lot can happen to a person in 3 years. And so you want to find out whether their motivation was caused by either a radicalization process, co-conspirators, or whether it was something totally different.
Okay, it's easy to make assumptions because he was Saudi, because a lot of the 9/11 hijackers were Saudi, just to give an example. But we don't want to make assumptions here. What are the legitimate questions worth asking Saudi authorities?
So I think, you know, look, Saudi Arabia has its interest right now. We've certainly seen it played out politically, right? They have two interests. One is to essentially make this case go away. They don't want it to disrupt the geopolitical relationship with the United States. The second is they want to protect this military liaison program. It is incredibly beneficial to them. They represent about 20% of a program that brings in 5,000 military professionals to be trained by the United States. But there are questions regarding this program, and those questions are America's interests. Those aren't Saudi Arabia's interests. Questions about the vetting process, whether it should be recurring, whether there are mechanisms in place at these facilities so if a teacher or an administrator or a colleague sort of thinks that someone has gotten radicalized or something's off with them, that there's processes that they can notify higher-ups at the Pentagon. Those kinds of questions are ones that outside of politics, outside of a criminal investigation, have to happen. I mean, in my field, you know, unfortunately, bad things happen. We know that. It's government's responsibility, it's sort of solemn obligation to find out why that bad thing happened so that you can do better next time and minimize the likelihood that it happens. And I think, again, and I think that's the obligation we have to these young men who died.
In a sentence or two, the Saudis have said they'll cooperate. Have they been cooperative historically?
So the cases differ. I mean, I think in financial cases and smuggling cases, we have a formalized legal attaché process. We have FBI agents in Saudi Arabia. Those are pretty rote. This one is different. And it's why people like me have been critical of sort of President Trump seeming to sort of replicate the sort of apologies that we're hearing from Saudi Arabia. He was paid for by the Saudi government. He is a member of their military.
Gotta stop.
So we'll
there.
See what comes in the weeks to come.
Juliette Kayyem of Harvard, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Support for NPR comes from WBUR and from Campaign Monitor with CM Commerce, an email marketing solution that connects to e-commerce platforms. With a library of pre-built workflows for abandoned cart emails and post-purchase receipts and surveys. CampaignMonitor.com. Wells Fargo. Wells Fargo has committed $1 billion through 2025 to develop housing affordability solutions for transitional housing, rentals, and home ownership. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/impact. And from Viking, dedicated to bringing the traveler closer to the destination by river and by sea. Offering a small ship experience with a shore excursion included in every port. Learn more at vikingcruises.com.
This is 90.9 WBUR. Hey, Robin Young.
Yes.
And Jay Clayton.
Hey, Bob.
I was just down in the event room, which doubles as the pledge room here during the fundraise, and that's what we're in right now, the WBUR year-end fundraiser. And a lot of the staff and a lot of volunteers down there right now taking phone calls because folks like you on the other end of the radio, like you, are taking advantage of something that is only available for the next 3.5 minutes. Other listeners are doubling every gift to WBUR, doubling your pledge for the news on WBUR if you make it right now. Pledges doubled till 7:30, which is only 3.5 minutes away. We've taken a couple of $1,000 pledges in, people have told me down the hall.
Wonderful.
A bunch of $100 pledges.
Wonderful.
No matter what size, doubled, but only for the next couple of minutes. So we're asking you at this moment to dial the number 1-800-909-9287 or give right now while there's still a moment for you to get your pledge doubled at WBUR.org.
1-800-909-9287, WBUR.org. We, of course, have to stop fundraising at 9 o'clock this morning because of the Judiciary Committee's impeachment hearings that continue today. That's going to be happening, you know, quite a bit over the next few weeks if the Democratic lawmakers make their goal, which is to, you know, have a vote on impeachment by Christmas. Well, that means that this year-end fundraiser, this attempt to kind of pay all the bills, it's going to be hampered a bit. That's okay. We're all about the news. That's, you know, that's fine with us. It's just that we need to pay for that news. So 1-800-909-9287, WBUR.org. Just help us out a little bit if you could to do this so that we can do both at the same time.
The number again, 800-909-9287. About 2.5 minutes left on the dollar for dollar match from some of the members of our Morrow Society who put that money up as an incentive for you to do your part, because no one does this alone. About half of our funding for everything on WBUR that you count on is listener support. It's thousands of listeners giving each year, and what they're saying is if you can do a little bit of the money right now, if you can give that to WBUR, they'll match whatever you're able to give. $10 a month, they're going to match it for a year. $20 a month, they'll match it for a year. $500 all at once, they'll match it. $1,000, they'll match it. $100, they'll match it. You get the idea. Just give right now because this is the last chance to get in on this dollar-for-dollar match.
It's 7:28 in the morning. It ends at 7:30, so only about a minute and a half, Jay.
Yeah, so just call us. The number is 800-909-9287. 800-909-9287. And you can give and get in on the match in just the next 2 minutes at WBUR.org.
So the big picture is this. As we've been telling you this morning, we're suspending fundraising for the entire day to bring you the impeachment hearings live coverage from Capitol Hill. We need to raise an entire day's worth of fundraising by 9 o'clock this morning, and now only an hour and a half to go in that. And between now and then, we need to raise $67,000. $67,000. It's a tall order, and we're asking you only to do what it's worth for you. As we said, several people have given $1,000. There undoubtedly are people who are going to give more than that today. Maybe $100 is right for you.
It's been great. It's been great.
It has been wonderful. The phones are ringing down the hall, but you have only 1 minute left if you want your meaningful pledge for the news, whatever the amount, doubled. The match, the dollar-for-dollar match, ends at 7:30, a minute away. The number to call is 1-800-909-9287 or give at WBUR.org.
And it's not just, you know, of course we're going to bring you the impeachment hearings, but we want to bring you everything else as well, from the volcano in New Zealand to the shooting at the Pensacola base over the weekend being called a terrorist act, to the passing of, I'm calling him Big Bird's best friend, Carol Spinney, if you want to explain that to your kids. By the way, if you want to remember the importance of Carol Spinney, go online, Google the Big Bird Finds Out Mr. Hooper Has Died. And I'm not crying, you're crying. 1-800-909-9287, WBUR.org, because you know you get it all here. That banana that was taped to a wall that apparently is sold for $120,000 in some museum. I saw over the weekend on Twitter that somebody took the banana off the wall and ate it. Did that really happen? I don't know if that was like a Twitter joke. But anyway, 1-800-909-9287, WBUR.org, for everything, for all of it. And we depend on all of you. 1-800-909-9287.
Last chance, though. Last chance right now to have your pledge double to WBUR. The matching money is ending right now. If you call and get on the phone right now, if you get on a line, connect to WBUR, your pledge will be doubled, but you have to do it right now before we go to the news in a few seconds. 1-800-909-9287 or give right now at WBUR.org. The match is expiring. Get on the line. Give now. Have your gift for the news on WBUR doubled.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by DentaQuest, improving the oral health of all by increasing access, affordability, and awareness. That's Preventistry. More at Preventistry.org. And Semester Off, an educational and wellness program in Wellesley, helping college-age students and high school grads get on track. Academics, executive function coaching, yoga, and exercise are designed to help develop resilience, improve confidence, and learn new skills. Spring semester starts January 21st, semesteroff.com.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Dave Mattingly. The House Judiciary Committee holds its second impeachment hearing today related to President Trump and Ukraine. NPR's Bobby Allen says a vote on articles of impeachment, including abuse of power, could occur before the end of the week.
The panel previously heard from a group of legal scholars. Now they will listen to counsel from the Intelligence Committee present their findings. Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler said Sunday that if the case against Trump were presented to a jury, they would return a guilty verdict in about 3 minutes flat. The White House, though, says the case against the president is unfair and completely baseless.
Also today, the Justice Department's Inspector General releases his report into the origins of the FBI investigation into President Trump and Russia. The FBI is investigating last week's deadly shooting at the Pensacola Naval Air Station in Florida as an act of terrorism. Investigators want to know if the gunman acted alone. He killed three sailors before a sheriff's deputy shot and killed the 21-year-old. NPR's Greg Allen says the shooter was a second lieutenant in the Royal Saudi Air Force who was being trained in Pensacola.
He was receiving flight training there. He'd been in the U.S. for at least 3 years and had gone back to Saudi Arabia in the meantime, had received language training at another place. But he was there for flight training when this shooting occurred.
Florida's governor says the gunman legally purchased the weapon. This is NPR News.
This is 90.9 WBUR. Good morning. I'm Bob X in Boston. Today, investigators looking into last June's derailment on the Red Line of the T will release their report. The derailment near the JFK UMass station knocked out equipment and slowed the Red Line for months. Investigators found it was caused by a broken train axle. The safety review panel issuing the report today was tasked with coming up with a review of all the MBTA's safety practices. More than 20 climate activists were arrested yesterday in New Hampshire trying to block a coal train from arriving at Merrimack Station in Bow, New Hampshire. Merrimack is the largest remaining coal-fired power plant in New England that's not yet scheduled to go offline. Lila Corman-Glacier is with the climate group 350 New Hampshire Action.
We have decided that we're not going to allow business as usual to proceed at the plant, and that means that we're not going to allow coal trains to arrive to Bow unhindered. And it means that we are going to do everything in our power to make sure that the plant cannot run.
The group also delayed the train yesterday in Worcester and in Ayr, Mass. The Waltham native who became famous as an 8-foot-tall yellow bird has died.
I just adore four, the number for me. You can't deplore.
That, of course, is Big Bird, who was voiced by Carol Spinney. Spinney died yesterday in Connecticut. He was 85. He grew up in Acton. In 2015, Spinney told WBUR about a 1960s meeting with the Sesame Street creator Jim Henson that changed his life.
He discovered me at a puppet festival. He said, "Would you like to join me?" I couldn't even believe it. To me, the Muppets are the epitome of really great puppetry.
Along with Big Bird, Carol Spinney was the voice of Oscar the Grouch. Spinney retired last year after performing on Sesame Street for nearly 50 years. Sports: and New England Patriots fell to the Kansas City Chiefs 23-16 yesterday in Foxborough. The Pats' record fell to 10-3 with the loss. Pats will visit the Cincinnati Bengals next weekend. Tonight, the Bruins visit the Ottawa Senators. Seltzer at home tonight to take on the Cleveland Cavaliers. Forecast: showers this morning, turning into steady rain later on today. Highs reach into the 50s. Tonight, rain, lows in the 50s. Tomorrow, the rain ends and still in the 50s. But Wednesday, early morning sleet and snow coming in Wednesday could leave several inches of accumulation. It'll be in the 30s. Sunny on Thursday in the low 30s. Sunny on Friday in the upper 30s. In Boston now, 42 degrees. 40 in Needham, 38 degrees in Newburyport, and 37 in Attleboro at 7:36.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by Lake Champlain Chocolates, handcrafting chocolate gifts to celebrate the season at local specialty food stores and at lakechamplainchocolates.com. Capital One, offering a variety of credit card options with features for a range of customers, from foodies to travelers. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Credit approval required. Capital One Bank, USA, N.A. And the Conrad N. Hilton Foundation, working to improve the lives of individuals living in poverty and experiencing disadvantage throughout the world. Learn more at HiltonFoundation.org.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Rachel Martin. Good morning. President Trump and his Republican allies have long questioned why and how the Russia probe came to be. Today, they will get their answer. After 20 months of investigating the investigators, the Inspector General at the Department of Justice will release his conclusions. NPR Justice correspondent Ryan Lucas has been following this and is in our studio. Hi, Ryan.
Good morning.
Okay, just remind us what the Inspector General was looking into specifically.
So the Inspector General, Michael Horowitz, announced this review back in March of 2018. And at the time, he said that it was in response to requests from the Attorney General, as well as members of Congress. Mm-hmm. And so over the past year and a half or so, Horowitz has been looking at a number of things. One of the big things is the FBI and the Justice Department surveillance of former Trump campaign policy aide Carter Page. Part of that involves the infamous Trump-Russia dossier that was written by a former British spy paid for by Democrats. The FBI was in contact with that former British spy. The dossier was included in the FBI's application to get court approval for surveillance on Page. Uh-huh. So the Inspector General looked at all of that and whether it was done in line with department policies. But this review will also address the question of whether there was any political bias that affected how the FBI handled this investigation. And that includes the FBI's use of confidential sources to reach out to folks in the Trump campaign to see what they knew about contacts with Russia.
So there's a whole lot of interest in seeing what these conclusions are going to be. Let's start out with the Republicans. What are they looking for here?
So the president and his Republican allies have been very clear about the Russia investigation and what they think of it. They have consistently called it a witch hunt. They've said it's part of a deep state conspiracy that aims to bring Trump down. The president and his allies have gone after several former senior FBI officials over this investigation. They've attacked former FBI Director James Comey. They've attacked Comey's former deputy, Andy McCabe. They have attacked two other FBI employees who sent those inflammatory text messages criticizing Trump that we've talked a lot about.
Right.
So in this report, Trump and his allies are looking for validation of all of these allegations. And in the current fight over impeachment, the president and his supporters have continued to push a version of that same narrative, basically that officials who handle national security are actively trying to undermine his investigation.
And Democrats, I mean, it's basically the opposite of that, right?
That's right. Democrats say that procedures were followed in the Russia investigation, that everything was done above board. They say that the FBI had every reason to look into possible ties between the Trump campaign and Russia. And they say that it would have been actually negligent of the FBI not to have taken a look at those things. Now, as for what we're actually likely to see in this report, in broad brushstrokes, the Inspector General is expected to criticize the FBI over certain aspects of the investigation. But overall, the report is expected to conclude that the investigation was justified, that there was reason to do it, and that it isn't tainted by political bias. All of that said, both sides, Republicans and Democrats alike, they are likely to find things in this report that they can cherry pick and hold up to support their respective viewpoints in all of this.
But doesn't this raise the question? I mean, remember when Bill Barr, the attorney general, sent out his synopsis of the executive summary of the Mueller report, and right. Democrats and Republicans both looked to it and saw what they wanted to see. Like, unless this report from Horowitz says explicitly the investigation was justified, period, I mean, we're still going to battle over this, aren't we?
This is, while this is supposed to be in many ways kind of a final word on this, this is not going to be the final word on this. This is political war at this point in time in many ways, shapes, and form. And so, yes, there is going to be, this is going to continue to play out. And Horowitz, this is not the final word from him himself. He's going to testify on Capitol Hill on Wednesday. But then, yes, there's another investigation that's still going on that deals with similar questions. The attorney general appointed a veteran prosecutor earlier this year to look into the origins of the Russia investigation.
John Durham, right?
John Durham. Uh-huh. He's looking at similar things to Horowitz, but he's believed to have more of a focus on U.S. spy agencies and foreign intelligence services. That review is now a criminal investigation. And the president, for one, is already looking ahead to that one. He said recently that the Durham report is actually the big report and the one that people are really waiting for.
Huh. Okay. NPR's Ryan Lucas. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
WBUR supporters include Curriculum Associates, local creator of iReady, designed to empower teachers and drive achievement for 8 million children nationwide. CurriculumAssociates.com. American Jewish World Service, working together for more than 30 years to build a more just and equitable world. Learn more at ajws.org. And Capital One, offering a variety of credit card options with features for a range of customers, from foodies to travelers. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Credit approval required. Capital One Bank, USA, N.A.
This is 90.9 WBUR. Bob Oakes, Jay Clayton, and Robin Young all here for just a couple of minutes, and then we go right back to the news. But I just want to point out that the clock just reached 7:42 in the morning. So there's just 1 hour and 18 minutes left of fundraising for the entire day here on WBUR, because we're suspending the WBUR year-end fundraiser at 9 o'clock this morning to bring you live coverage of the House impeachment hearings as they continue. It's important for us to do that. But it means it's important for you to know that if you're going to give to WBUR on this Monday of this fundraiser, then you should give right now instead of waiting, because we stop at 9 o'clock. The number to call is 1-800-909-9287. Or, of course, you can always give at WBUR.org. You're pledging for all the news coverage that you get here on WBUR, our complete coverage of what's happening on Capitol Hill right now vis-a-vis impeachment, but also the 2020 race, the Boston City Council elections of a couple of weeks ago, the recount that we may know the results of today in one of the at-large city council races, plus all the other news locally, nationally, and internationally. You know what you're giving for. We're asking you to give right now because the clock is ticking on fundraising today.
1 hour and 17 minutes, but who's counting? We are, very much, because we're a little nervous about this. We have to wrap up, as Bob said, by 9 o'clock this morning.
1-800-9- $59,000 between now and 9 o'clock.
Okay, Robert. We can do that. And by the way, thank you, everyone who's helped us out so far. We started really early this morning, and you're up, it turns out. 1-800-909-9287, WBUR.org. And as we've been hearing today, yes, we're going ahead with the impeachment hearings today in the Judiciary Committee. We're also going to be hearing a Justice Department Inspector General report expected to say the FBI did have a legitimate basis to open its investigation into ties between the Trump campaign and Russia. That's happening today. But hey, guess what? North Korea tweeted out that Donald Trump was a heedless and erratic old man. That has been heating up again. We thought that, what, there was a bromance there. No. Nuclear missile test over the weekend. So there's so much that we want to try to keep our eye on. How about you just do this one thing? We'll do everything else. You just do that one thing. 1-800-909-9287-WBUR.org.
That one thing being making your contribution of whatever you can give to WBUR to help us keep covering all this news for you. And the reason we're asking you is because about half of our funding here at WBUR for everything that you get from us is listener support. We add all the contributions together. Average contribution is about $100. If that's what you can do, that's great. If you can do a little bit more, we appreciate it. If less is what you can do, we appreciate it just as much. So just give whatever you can give, but we've got only an hour and 15 minutes left in fundraising for the day because we are going to stop for the hearings. We expect they'll go all day. We'll bring you all of them, no matter how long they go, but it means we need to have the money in place before 9 o'clock this morning for the whole day. So give us a call, 800-909-9287, or go to WBUR.org. It'll take you just 2 or 3 minutes to give. And when you do, you're also going to get a chance to go see Elton John in London.
What?
We are giving away 2 tickets along with airfare and hotel accommodations. The show is November 2nd, 2020. It's one of the last shows on his farewell tour. And you could be there on us if you get in. But that also ends at 9 o'clock this morning. So lots of reasons to give right now. 800-909-9287 or WBUR.org is where you can give online.
So, Jay Clayton, you're saying because the deadline to enter the Elton John concert giveaway is ending at 9 o'clock this morning. We don't want to let our listeners have the sun go down on them.
True. See what he
you
did
gotta
there?
Pledge before
yes.
9 o'clock. You gotta crocodile did? Rock Whoa. Over to your telephone and make the pledge right now before your chance to win the tickets ends. Don't go breaking my heart by not supporting the news on WBUR.
And I tell you what, if we meet this goal, I will tell you the secret story about the song Daniel. Right before 9 o'clock.
All right. We need you to pledge, though. The first thing we need you to do is give to WBUR and all the news you listen to. You know how much you value it. Give to WBUR right now. Take a chance on winning the two concert tickets to see Elton John in London next year. Just dial the number. It's 1-800-909-9287 or give at WBUR.org. $57,000 to raise between now and 9 o'clock. We need your help.
The concert is November 2nd, 2020?
Correct.
Don't check your calendar. Whatever you're doing, if you get this, you're going to London. 1-800-909-9287.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by Plymouth Rock Assurance, providing Massachusetts and New Hampshire drivers with customized auto insurance coverage and advice from a local agent. More at PlymouthRock.com. And First Republic Bank, where business banking clients receive personalized service and customized solutions. Learn more at FirstRepublic.com. Member FDIC.
This is WBUR. I'm Bob Oakes. The New England Patriots had not lost a game at Gillette Stadium since October of 2017. That is, until last night. Their 21-game home winning streak ended with a 23-16 loss to the Kansas City Chiefs. It's a game many Pats fans will claim their team would have won had it not been for serious mistakes in the game by game officials. To break down what happened, we're joined this morning, as usual, by ESPN football reporter Mike Reese, who's in the studio. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Bob.
We're going to get to those questionable calls in a moment, Mike. But first, let's focus on the Pats team. The defense and the special teams looked good again yesterday. The defense after the first half, which it didn't really play very well in. But the offense is sputtering. Quarterback Tom Brady, after the game, said his team may be inexperienced.
I may have certain experience doing things, but this particular team, you know, as a whole, hasn't been, you know, through different situations. So just try to work through them over the course of the whole season. And we had three big games to go, and we got to get back to winning football.
So, Mike Reese, what's going on? And is there time to turn things around, which Brady seems to suggest maybe there isn't?
Well, I do think there is time to turn it around, as last year showed us when they turned it around in late December after back-to-back losses. But in terms of what's going on, you do ask the question after back-to-back losses like this. You say, do they have enough talent on offense to get where they want to go?
All right, the Patriots defense had an interception and the special teams blocked a punt against an offense as strong as the Chiefs. That's kind of rare, but allowing 23 points in a victory has got to be a letdown.
Well, it's a little bit of a letdown. I would say, Bob, if you let up 23 points to the Chiefs at home, that's usually enough to win. The defense right now just needs to tighten up a few things, and one is giving up the big play. They gave up a 48-yard touchdown pass, and that came after last week in Houston when they gave up a couple long plays and one for a touchdown. So they need to tighten up those big plays because those quickly put points on the board for the other team.
All right, the questionable calls. Do you think the Pats would have won the game had it not been for the refs obviously blowing a couple of calls?
Yeah, they did blow a couple calls, and I think it's hard to say decisively that they would have won the game had those calls been called correctly. And, you know, overall, the Chiefs were called for more penalties in the game. I mean, the officials called them for 10 penalties that accounted for 136 yards. The Patriots were only called for 5 penalties. So those calls, they do go both ways, although the significance of the 2 blown calls hurt because they took points off the board for the Patriots.
Well, they called a receiver out of bounds near the goal line when clearly the replay showed that he did not go out of bounds, and it cost the Patriots a touchdown. They had to settle for a field goal.
They did, and after the game, the official, the referee Jerome Boger, talked about that and said the officials conferred and thought N'Keal Harry had stepped out of bounds, and it was just a mistake, and everyone has a bad day. I do think it's it's fair to say that the standard of officiating should be higher. That's a tough mistake to make in a game of that magnitude.
You know, it's going to happen a couple of times every season in a long season.
It is, and I think the best teams find a way to overcome that. And I would just say this, Bob. The Patriots had the ball at the Chiefs' three-yard line with three plays to get it in the end zone after that missed call, and they couldn't do it. So while the officials' calls hurt the Patriots' own performance still wasn't up to its usual standard.
Is there any way the Pats can fix their offensive problems? What do they need to fix their offensive problems with only three games left?
I would say the running game, and that's what they ended up, you know, fixing it with last year. They just don't have something. I call them gotta-have-it plays. When there's a gotta-have-it play, the game's on the line, what do you have? Like, what can you go to that you can rely on? Last year, it ended up being the running game. Right now, outside of Tom Brady throwing to Julian Edelman, his longtime friend and the veteran receiver, they don't have much to really hang their hat on right now offensively.
You know, the Patriots are 10-3, so on paper, that looks good. But do you think other NFL teams look at them as a major threat?
Well, maybe not a major threat. I will say their history and the way they compete and the way they fight and the resolve they showed. I will say a silver lining, if you will, and Bill Belichick mentioned this after the game, was the comeback effort, you know, in the second half showed a lot of resolve that Belichick said will serve them well going forward. So they're a tough competitor. Are they the most talented team? No, not right now.
All right, so they play the Bengals next weekend. That is a must-win game for them.
A must-win game against a team that has just one win, one of the worst teams in the league. So probably a team the Patriots are pretty happy to see next on their schedule.
Mike Reese covers the New England Patriots for ESPN and provides regular analysis here on WBUR. Mike, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Boston Foundation, believing that driving real change means harnessing Boston's collective power and working together to solve problems here and around the world. Open a donor-advised fund at the Boston Foundation and see how your philanthropy can be more than just a transaction. tbf.org/partner. And Bass, Berry & Sims Healthcare Law Practice, providing transactional, regulatory, and compliance and investigations advice to providers nationwide. More at BassBerry.com.
This is 90.9 WBUR. Bob Oaks here with Jay Clayton for just a couple of minutes before we go to the top news stories of the day at 8 o'clock this morning, including a preview of what might happen today on Capitol Hill when the House Judiciary Committee convenes to discuss the articles of impeachment. We need to tell you that we're going to break away from regular news coverage here at WBUR. We're going to stop the fundraiser altogether at 9 o'clock this morning so that we can bring you live coverage of the hearings, but that also means that we suspend fundraising for the day at an important time when we're trying to raise the money it takes to keep things going, to keep the news coming your way in the next year. We're asking you to recognize our dedication to the news. We're asking you to give right now before 9 o'clock, because between now and then, we need to raise an entire day's worth of fundraising, and that means we need to pick up an additional $49,000 for the news. We've had a great morning so far, over $30,000 in since 5 o'clock this morning, but we need your gift. We need you to participate. We need you to become the contributing listener that gets behind the news with a contribution, frankly, of money at 1-800-909-9287 or give at WBUR.org, because you know it's important.
Voluntary contributions from our listeners, and we hope you, as one of our listeners this morning, they add up to about half of the funding for WBUR. They give WBUR its editorial independence. So it is a noble thing that you are doing when you contribute money to this radio station that helps us bring you the news. We've got an hour and 5 minutes left in fundraising for the whole day. We've got $49,000 to raise in that hour and 5 minutes, so we hope you'll decide whatever part of that you can comfortably give, whatever fits into your budget. And you're going to get a chance to go see Elton John in London, because we are giving away two tickets. and hotel and airfare. The show is November 2nd, 2020. It's one of the last shows on his farewell tour, and you could be there, but the deadline to get in on that also is 9 o'clock this morning. So all good reasons to go to the phone or the web and give what you can to WBUR to help us with a little bit of the money that it takes to bring you all the news that you count on. The number to call is 800-909-9287. And, of course, you can also give at WBUR.org.
1-800-909-9287, WBUR.org. It's for a chance to go on that trip, but it's for all the guarantees that you get from WBUR and NPR that you're going to get a complete, thoughtful, nonpartisan news coverage. You get it right here. 1-800-909-9287-WBUR.org. We're asking for your help, frankly, because, you know, we're going to, not just today, but in the foreseeable future, we're going to be focused like a laser on the impeachment hearings in Washington. Not that we're going to, you know, leave out the rest of what's happening in the world. You know, by the way, we heard from former Vice President Dick Cheney for the first time. Did you know that he was in the United Arab Emirates, UAE, speaking and pretty much dissing President Trump's foreign policy, talking about the pullout from Syria being, well, he said, nobody will remember it as our finest hour. But Dick Cheney pops up. You know, we're going to try to, you know, get all of everything to you, but we need your help. 1-800-909-9287, WBUR.org.
All right. It's exactly 7:57 in the morning. Yep. Just set your clock there. 7:57 in the morning. So we have 1 hour and 3 minutes left of fundraising for the entire day. We have a little less than $49,000 to raise in this 1 hour and a couple of minutes thrown in. We need your gift of a pledge right now to help make sure that we have the money it takes to cover all that happens on Capitol Hill at the beginning of next year, all that happens on the campaign trail around the country as we move toward the elections next fall, next November, the 2020 elections, and the of course the Democratic and Republican national conventions before we get there, plus all the rest of the news that's going to happen nationally, internationally, and locally here in Boston. We have a great news staff here at WBUR, but you know, frankly, they depend on you. They can work every day knowing that you're there behind them with your support. Become a contributing listener before the fundraising ends today at 9 o'clock. The number to call is 1-800-909-9287, or give just a little bit. Make it $50, $100, $1,000, whatever the news is worth to you. Give it at WBUR.org.
Whatever part of the $48,000 that we have left to raise in the next hour and 2 minutes before we stop the fundraiser for what we believe will be the rest of the day, because we're going to bring you the hearings for as long as they go, beginning at 9 o'clock. And we have to raise all of our goal by then, and that's why we're asking for your help a little more urgently this morning.
Urgent.
Give us a call, 800-909-9287, or go to WBUR.org, because 9 o'clock is also your last chance to get your contribution in, when it means you could win tickets to see Elton John in London, one of the final stops on his tour. Next November, you could be there on WBUR if you give right now.
So here it is. That's Elton John playing in the background. If you want a chance to go see Elton John, then all you need to do is pick up the phone and give to WBUR right now. We're giving away two tickets to see Elton John, but your opportunity to get in on the drawing for that November 2020 concert is 9 o'clock this morning. That's when we stop taking names that we're going to put in the hat to give away these tickets. Two tickets for the concert, plus hotel, plus airfare. Someone who listens to WBUR and gives to the news is going to win it, win this great prize, once-in-a-lifetime prize. Take a chance on winning by giving to the news, giving to the sure thing right now. The number, 1-800-909-9287. The deadline to enter the drawing for the Elton John tickets is 9 o'clock this morning. We stop fundraising altogether at 9 o'clock this morning to bring you the impeachment hearings. Help us out. Give to the news before that, before we hit 9 a.m.
1-800-909-9287. Are you sitting here in Massachusetts, in the Boston area, maybe New Hampshire? Are you sitting here and wanting to claim this as your radio station? I hope you do. Because, look, we heard from a woman who lives in Taiwan and relies on WBUR because she's a history teacher, and she encourages her students to keep up with current events and to analyze their sources, so we keep her informed. If she can do it from Taiwan, you can do it from here. 1-800-909-9287.
800-909-9287. 1 hour to go. You can give at WBUR.org. 1 hour to go to get in on the chance to see Elton John in London. 1 hour to go in fundraising for today to raise the rest of our goal for today, because we'll close out the fundraiser in an hour to bring you the hearing. So as we listen to the news, please give a call, 800-909-9287, or give at WBUR.org. And don't forget, if we do meet this goal, we will tell you the secret story about the song Daniel before we go to the hearings.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by Sunovion, with a vision for a healthier world, advanced through innovation that helps people living with serious medical conditions. Take on tomorrow. More at Sunovion.com.
You're listening to 90.9 WBUR FM Boston,
92.7 WBUA Tisbury,
89.1 WBUH Brewster,
streaming at WBUR.org,
and live at City Space, Boston's new home for public conversation.
WBUR, Boston's NPR news station.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Korva Coleman. The Justice Department's Inspector General is expected to release a report today on the Russia probe led by former Special Counsel Robert Mueller. President Trump has constantly criticized the Russia probe as a witch hunt. NPR's Ryan Lucas says Democrats take a different view.
Democrats, for example, say that procedures in the Russia investigation were followed, that everything was done above board, that the FBI had every reason to look into possible ties between the Trump campaign and Russia, and actually it would have been negligent not to have done so. Now, as for what we're likely to see in this report, in broad brushstrokes, the Inspector General is expected to criticize the FBI over certain aspects of the investigation. But overall, the report is expected to conclude that the Russia investigation was indeed justified.
NPR's Ryan Lucas. The FBI is investigating last week's deadly shooting at the Pensacola Naval Air Station as an act of terrorism. Investigators are trying to determine if the gunman, a member of Saudi Arabia's Air Force, acted alone. He shot and killed three people and wounded another eight before he was killed by a sheriff's deputy. The three people killed were U.S. sailors. Carrie Sheridan of member station WUSF reports on one of them.
Mohammed Haytham was 19. He joined the military to follow in the footsteps of his mother, a 20-year Navy veteran. During high school, he sometimes took part in youth discussions at his church, says Minister Gene Hummelman.
What I remember most about him is no matter what someone was talking about or struggling with, he found the positive in it.
Military officials say Haytham was killed while trying to stop the shooter. For NPR News, I'm Carrie Sheridan in St. Petersburg.
A volcano has erupted on an island off the coast of New Zealand's North Island. At least five people have been killed. Many more people are missing. The area is popular with tourists. The BBC's Phil Mercer has more.
The eruption on White Island apparently came without warning. It sent a thick plume of ash and smoke into the sky. Footage showed a group of hikers inside the crater of one of New Zealand's most active volcanoes before the images went dark after the blast. About 50 people were on or near the island at the time. 23 were rescued, but five of those have died. The police say foreign tourists are among the dead. The rest are unaccounted for. Emergency teams have not yet been able to search the island because it's considered to be too unstable.
The BBC's Phil Mercer. The World Anti-Doping Agency has banned Russia from global sports for 4 years. This is over its widespread doping program. Russia is banned from the Olympics, from soccer's World Cups, and any other sporting events. But Russian athletes can still apply to compete if they're able to prove they aren't taking banned substances. You're listening to NPR.
This is 90.9 WBUR. Good morning. I'm Bob Oakes in Boston. City of Boston election officials plan to have the final recount results in the City Council at-large election by the end of this day. WBUR's Simone Rios reports today will be the third straight day for recounting ballots.
The recount in the fourth of four at-large city council seats started Saturday morning. The unofficial results have Julia Mejia ahead of Alejandra St. Guillen by such a thin margin that both candidates agreed to the recount. Boston's interim elections commissioner, Aneida Tavares, says it's exciting to have a role in the city's political history.
This is what democracy looks like, so it's pretty amazing, and it just goes to show that every vote counts and the importance of actually turning out.
Tavares says she expects all the ballots to be counted by the end of the day, but she adds all parties involved need to review the results before they're released to the public. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Simon Rios.
State Supreme Court justices will consider whether a university is legally obligated to protect students from other students. A Northeastern University student who claimed she was sexually assaulted by another student following a party says given the prevalence of sex assaults on campuses when alcohol is present, the school should have foreseen her alleged assault. Northeastern says it's not responsible for student actions. The state Transportation Department says a bridge in Dennis remains closed after a too-tall truck hit it. State police are charging the driver with hitting the Old Bass River Bridge overpass on Route 6 Friday night. The crash knocked concrete down from the overpass. It hit a driver and seriously injured that car. It hit a car and seriously injured the car's driver. Three Nobel Prize winners with local ties say they'll donate their prize money to support economic research. Esther Duflo and Abhijit Banerjee from MIT, along with Michael Kremer of Harvard, won the Nobel Prize in Economics this year for their work on fighting global poverty. They tell the Boston Globe their donation of more than $900,000 will help fund student research for the next 15 years. Sports: New England Patriots lost at home for the first time in more than 2 years last night, falling to the Kansas City Chiefs 23-16. Pats will try to rebound next Sunday as they visit the Cincinnati Bengals. Tonight at the Garden, Celtics face the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Bruins will be in Ottawa tonight to take on the Senators. And in college football, the Boston College Eagles are headed for a bowl game. They'll face Cincinnati in the Birmingham Bowl January 2nd in Alabama. Forecast: steady rain will follow the scattered showers this morning. Temperatures are headed to the 50s today. Showers tonight, lows in the 50s. Showers end tomorrow and again in the 50s. But late Tuesday night and early Wednesday morning, it might get sloppy with sleet and snow. Several inches could accumulate from this. It'll be in the 30s Wednesday and then sunny and in the 30s Thursday and Friday. In Boston now, we're at 42 degrees. It's 40 degrees in Natick, 37 in Haverhill, and 41 degrees in Milton at 8:08.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by Vertex. Fueled by the needs of patients, families, and healthcare providers, Vertex invests in science to strike at the core of serious diseases. VRTX.com. The Greater Boston Food Bank. Give the gift of a holiday meal. Just $20 provides five healthy meals. Give at gbfb.org/holidays. And the NPR Shop, where visitors can browse the latest NPR and Tiny Desk t-shirts, mugs, and totes at nprshop.org.
Okay, Bob Oakes here with Jay Clayton. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning, Bob.
Robin Young will be back in a minute. We're here to tell you that at 8:09 in the morning, time is running out on the WBUR year-end fundraiser today because we're suspending fundraising at 9 o'clock this morning so that we can bring you live NPR coverage of the House Judiciary Committee impeachment hearings. It means we need to raise an entire day's worth of fundraising by 9 o'clock this morning. We've had spectacular success so far this morning, raising over $30,000, but between now and 9 o'clock, we need to raise, to meet the day's goal, $47,000 more dollars. We're asking you to do just your part. Can you give $100? Can you give $1,000? Can you give something in between? It's all for the news you value here on WBUR. It's for the radio station that you've perhaps listened to for years. Maybe you've given in the past. We're asking you to give again right now. Or make your first ever pledge. Use the phone number 1-800-909-9287 or give at WBUR.org. And Jay, you're here to tell us about additional value if you give right now.
Yes, some more members of our Morrow Society have offered a dollar-for-dollar match for your contribution right now. They will double your gift. If it's a monthly gift, they're going to double it for the next 12 months. If it's a one-time gift, say a lump sum, they're going to double that gift immediately. Nothing too big, nothing too small, whatever whatever you can comfortably give to WBUR to help us have the money that it takes to bring you the news, because about half of our funding for everything on WBUR that you listen to is listener support. That's why your contribution is so important, and double the value of it if you get in on this dollar-for-dollar match. Now, here's the thing. It is 8:10. The match only goes until 8:30. So within the next 20 minutes, you just need to find 2 or 3 minutes, which is all the time it takes to give, and your contribution will be doubled as part of this matching opportunity. The number to call to make that happen is 800-909-9287. 800-909-9287. And you can also get in on the match at WBUR.org.
All right, let's say it again, though. It is now 8:11 in the morning, so there are only 19 minutes left, 19 minutes left in this match. If you want your gift to WBUR on this morning to go much further, then call us right now and have that $100 pledge doubled to $200 for the news. Have that $75 pledge doubled to $150 for the news. Have a $1,000 pledge be worth $2,000 for the news here on WBUR. The match ends at 8:30. Call now, 1-800-909-9287, or go online and pledge at WBUR.org. And again, keep this in mind. We're giving away 2 tickets to see Elton John live in his farewell Yellow Brick Road tour, the concert November of next year, November 2020. 2 tickets, airfare, hotel. Somebody's going to win it. But if you want in on that drawing, the deadline is 9 o'clock this morning. Instead of waiting, pledge for the news right now while you can get in on the drawing for the Elton John tickets and still get your pledge to WBUR doubled. The match, the dollar-for-dollar match that doubles your pledge, is only on for another 18 minutes till 8:30, so take advantage of that right now.
800-909-9287 is the number to call. 800-909-9287 or WBUR.org. You know, we've got about $46,000 to raise between now and 9 o'clock. That's 48 minutes from now. Chip in whatever part of that you can. It will be matched dollar for dollar if you get it to us before 8:30 this morning. That's a $10 a month contribution becoming $20 a month for the next year. That's a $1,000 contribution if you can make it becoming $2,000 for WBUR. It's all to the good of bringing you the news. We're going to pause the fundraiser at 9 o'clock. There are serious questions on the table about around this impeachment inquiry. We all need to hear that. WBUR provides all of it to you, but there's no way to do it or any of the other news without your help. Listener support is really the foundation of this radio station. So please chip in what you can, especially before 8:30 when it's worth twice as much thanks to the dollar for dollar match. 800-909-9287. Or WBUR.org.
That's right, the clock is ticking. It's almost 8:15 in the morning, so there are only 15 minutes left in this match. Dollar for dollar match, doubling your gift no matter what it is. If it's $100, which is the average pledge for the news here on WBUR, that will be doubled. I know that earlier this morning we took a couple of $1,000 pledges, at least 2 of them, maybe more. If you give $1,000 right now, that too will be doubled. Money going into the news, your money and other people's money giving us what it takes, we hope, to cover the news in 2020 for you. We're asking you to give right now. Give to have your pledge doubled. Give for the news. Give to get in on the Elton John ticket giveaway. That ends this morning as well at 9 a.m. But the match runs out before that. The match doubling your gift ends at 8:30. Again, as we go to the news, let me give you the number. The pledge line is 1-800-909-9287, or give at WBUR right now. Give. It's 8:15 in the morning.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by Boston Ballet's The Nutcracker, a holiday treat for the whole family now through December 29th. Make memories to cherish with the ones you love. BostonBallet.org. The Music Emporium and Martin Guitar, family-owned guitar sellers celebrating the enduring artistry of the American flat-top guitar for over 180 years. MartinGuitar.com. And Brookline Bank, where a blend of high-tech and high-touch services delivers financial solutions crafted to the needs of your business. Learn more at brooklinebank.com.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Rachel Martin. And this morning, I want to tell you about some time I spent with Joe Biden recently. We met up with him in Elkader, Iowa, on Friday. This is a little town about an hour and a half outside of Cedar Rapids. And a couple hundred people had gathered into this community center to see the former vice president. His tour bus is an hour late, but no one inside seems to mind much.
Well, what kind of people show up for Joe Biden at this point in the campaign?
So mostly big fans. I do have to say, when I was just doing a rough count of this particular group, probably a couple hundred folks, as I mentioned, less than 15 or so were under the age of 50. Hmm. I got a whole lot of, oh, we love Joe. There was this real sense of familiarity about him. I heard more than once he's been around a long time. And in this crowd, Steve, that is not a negative thing. People appreciate that experience. A lot of them were wearing these No Malarkey stickers, which is what Biden has named his bus tour, which we have to say is not exactly a name that makes you think of the future, but it is very Joe Biden.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
It's great to see you. Great to see you.
All right. So this is the bus, huh?
Yeah.
This is the bus.
This is the bus. No Malarkey.
So we were with him on that bus. This is the third time the vice president has campaigned for president in Iowa. He's currently polling fourth in that state behind Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and Pete Buttigieg. Biden is hoping that a recent endorsement from a former presidential candidate who did well in Iowa might help him. And we are not talking about Barack Obama.
Well, let me ask you, you recently got an endorsement from your friend, Senator John Kerry, yep. Former Secretary of State, yep. John Kerry. There are some within your party, in particular younger voters, who look to the former Secretary of State, and it's a warning for them for 2020, because they think about 2004. Because while John Kerry came from behind to win Iowa, he still lost the presidential race. And he was the stabilizing force. He was the guy with the name recognition. He was going to right the ship after George W. Bush, who was at the time fairly unpopular. That's the liberal rap on you right now, that a moderate can't beat Donald J. Trump.
Look at all the polling data. Show me where the Democratic Party doesn't want...
But I know you don't even like polls.
No,
I
don't.
You say you can't trust the polls.
No, you can't, but just travel with me. Travel with me. Look what's happening. Look, what's moderate about my wanting to make sure everybody has health care? I just have a different view than other people do. And if you notice, the vast majority of people agree with my position on health care. They agree with my position on education. They agree with... And so the idea that there's something that, quote, I am moderate, one of the things that... You know, I wish I had that label when I was running all the times for the Senate. I was a moderate. Because I was always rated as one of the most liberal senators in the United States Senate for all the years I was there.
But you're not nearly as progressive on health care as other candidates
yeah,
in the race.
Because I'm realistic. Guess what? You're going to find $33 trillion in 10 years and not raise tax? Look, you all are beginning to be a little more honest than you have been. You're looking at now and saying, okay, those of you for Medicare for All, you're going to have to raise taxes on the middle class? You let everybody not answer that question for the longest time.
So, Steve, I should take a moment and just describe the scene here. We're both situated on this black leather bench on the bus as it is driving on the highway. Hmm. It's a really small space. We're probably only a few inches apart from one another. And when I bring up any criticism of the campaign, Biden bristles and leans in to make his point. He is especially displeased with a question about his challenge with younger voters. A recent Harvard poll shows him with only 18% of the vote between people between the ages of 18 and 29.
Why do you think there's an enthusiasm gap?
There is an enthusiasm gap. What the hell are you talking about?
I'm talking about a lot of young people who say Joe Biden's got a lot of experience. He's been around a long time, and that's not
what
we want.
Come with me on college campuses. You don't see that. You guys keep saying that.
Well, because I talk to people
who
say I want someone from the outside. I met someone tonight at the town hall we were at.
I'm sure you have.
She said, I want someone who can bring some outside energy because I don't think an insider can beat Donald Trump because he is so outside the norm. That the moment demands someone who is not of the establishment. What do you say to someone like that?
I say the fact of the matter is that's not the case. The case is, look, the next person you elect to be president has to be able to pass something. Name me one thing. All the rest of the candidates combined have passed. Donald Trump is the reason why you need someone who knows what they're doing. Donald Trump, name me somebody who's going to be able to stand on the world stage and immediately command the respect of everyone in the world.
Well, Barack Obama was able to do it, and he didn't have very much experience at all.
No, that's not true. Think about it. That's not true. What happened was, one of the reasons Barack Obama picked me as vice president is because he lacked the background in foreign policy. He's a brilliant guy. He knew what he wanted to do. He knew how to get it done.
You brought up the ticket, the so Senate. I want to ask you of a ticket and a running mate.
Yep.
And so I want to ask you about that.
Because
Senator Kamala Harris is no longer in the race. And that leaves the debate stage for the next debate in the Democratic primary looking very white. All the people on the stage will be white candidates. And that is just not, as you know, that's not representative of the party. If you are the nominee, can you commit to selecting a person of color to be on the ticket?
I have not a little tiny bit of a problem picking a person of color or a woman.
Can you commit to that?
No, I can't commit to that because here's what I know about vice presidents. You have to have someone who works with you who believes exactly like you do on the strategic notions that you support. The reason why the historians are writing about Barack Obama and I having the closest relationships with everybody is we trusted each other completely. He was able to give me entire chunks of responsibility where I didn't have to report back because he knew I knew what he was thinking.
And you can't know right now that that person
and you can't
be a
know
person
that.
Of color.
You can't know that. But there's plenty of people of color. There's plenty of women who are not, who haven't run. You got senators all, I can think of four women senators off the bat that would be great vice presidents. I can think of several women who are in fact lost races recently who are completely capable of being vice president of the United States. And look, I'm in a situation where, look at my staff. I have the most diverse staff of anybody running. I've always done that. This is who the country has to look like. The administration should look like the American public.
I have to ask you about what's happening right now. President Trump is in the process of being impeached. The Senate trial is pending. Republicans have suggested that they might call you or your son, Hunter Biden. If you are subpoenaed, would you comply?
No, I'm not going to let you take the eye off the ball here. Everybody knows what this is about. This is a Trump gambit he plays. Whenever he's in trouble, he tries to find someone else to divert attention to.
But this is a real thing that's happening. Republicans are suggesting that they would subpoena you. And President Trump, these issues will be parsed out in the Senate trial.
That's right.
But the question is, would you comply with the subpoena?
I will not yield to what everybody is looking for here, and that is to take the eye off the ball. Everybody knows the issue here is not what I did, because no one has produced one scintilla of evidence that I did anything other than do my job for America as well as anybody could have done it, making sure that we, in fact, got rid of a corrupt prosecutor who everybody, including our allies, and including our allies as well as the IMF and everyone else said, has to go. I did my job incredibly well. And even the people in his administration have testified to my character, testified to my honesty.
So but you why know would it I didn't, you know it didn't look good for Hunter Biden to be on that board, even if he did nothing wrong. The optics weren't good. There were former White House aides of yours who tried to warn you about the potential conflicts of interest.
Nobody warned me about a potential conflict of interest. Nobody warned me about that. And at the same time, this
George
was
Kent,
done.
The State Department official, testified that he raised it to you.
No,
and
he
your
didn't
staff,
say
to your
me.
Staff.
He did not
to
say,
your staff. I
never,
stand corrected.
Never heard that once.
To your
all.
Staff, and your staff and, told him he has no bandwidth.
Well, my son was dying. I guess that's why he said it, because my son was on his deathbed. But that's not the reason why they should have told me. And the fact of the matter is my son testified and did an interview saying if he, looking back on it, made a mistake. He made a mistake, although he did nothing wrong. The appearance looked bad, and it gave thugs like Rudy Giuliani an excuse to come up with a Trumpian kind of defense why they were violating the Constitution. His words speak for themselves.
I know that you sat down with your family before you decided to run for president this time, because I talked with your wife about it, and you had a big conversation about the emotional toll that this takes every single time, but especially this time. This is your third time running for president. Why do you want this so bad?
Look, number one, I'm not sure I'd be running if Trump wasn't the president. I think the country is...
At this point, the vice president goes into this very long answer, recounting how his grandchildren insisted that he run this time. Then he goes back in time and lays into President Trump for calling Mexicans rapists and defending white supremacists after Charlottesville. And then Joe Biden repeats a line he says a whole lot on the campaign trail, that we are in a battle for the soul of this country.
They're looking for somebody who can actually bring the world back together and get us off this precipice. And they're looking for someone who can actually get things passed. What good does it do if we cannot reach a consensus on issues relating to health care, education, climate change, dealing with guns and assault weapons? I've done those things.
You mentioned earlier that his experience can be seen as a liability, Rachel, but you hear him there playing on it as an asset.
Right. And, you know, I talked to several people at that town hall I went to who said, listen, we just want to beat Donald Trump, right? But that's not the entire Democratic voting bloc. I mean, to win this very crowded primary, Biden has to build a coalition of voters, not just those who want to go back to life before Donald Trump, but also those who want a vision for the future, and they haven't decided if Joe Biden is the guy who has that.
Okay. Thanks, Rachel. Really fascinating. And it's a great video as well, which you can watch, this interview with Joe Biden at NPR.org. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from WBUR and from the Pajamagram Company, creators of matching holiday pajamas for the whole family, including dogs and cats, with Charlie Brown, Star Wars, and Grinch themes, in knits, fleece, and flannel, available at pajamagram.com. Atlassian, whether it's keeping thousands of people on the same page or managing projects from start to finish, Atlassian works to unleash the potential of all types of teams with collaboration software. More at atlassian.com. And Drexel University, recognizing 100 years of a cooperative education program that prepares students to address the challenges of a changing world. More at drexel.edu/ambition-can't-wait.
This is 90.9 WBUR. Bob Oakes, Robin Young, Jay Clayton here for just a couple of minutes before we go to the news at 8:30. But when we get to 8:30, your chance to pledge to WBUR and help pay for all the stories you listen to, help pay for direct access to the 2020 presidential candidates, an interview you just heard with Joe Biden, it comes to an end. And what we're talking about here is that there's a match on the table that helps pay for all this news coverage that expires in 3 minutes at 8:30. It's a dollar-for-dollar match, doubling your pledge for the news here on WBUR, but it's up at 8:30. So we're asking you to give that $100 gift you were going to give anyway, or that $1,000 or $2,000 gift you were going to give to WBUR in this year-end fundraiser. We're asking you to give it right now at the pledge line. It's 1-800-909-9287, or give it online right now while it can be doubled at WBUR.org.
1-800-909-9287. Okay, people, listen up. We are coming up on 8:30. It's 8:28. Coming up on 8:30, that means we have a half hour left. We are getting serious right now that we need your help. We need you to go to the phone, go online, and make that pledge if you were going to make it sometime during the day. You know, you can still do it, but you won't be as encouraged to, because we're not going to be able to be here because of the hearings. 1-800-909-9287, WBUR.org. We really need your help. And Jay, Bob, people have been amazing this morning. We have taken in so many pledges. We are so grateful. It's just, you know, we need a little bit more because of this situation that we're in. So 1-800-909-9287, WBUR.org.
And you've got just under a minute left to get your contribution matched dollar for dollar. This matching money put up by some members of our Morrow Society,
Thank
they
you.
Want to give you, yeah, they want to give you a little extra incentive to give. And when you put your money together with their money, it will double the effect of your giving. It really is a powerful thing to do. It's all to the good of the money that it takes to bring you the news every day here on WBUR. So please chip in as generously as you can in this last minute for this last match of the morning. Mm. The number to call to get in on it with your support is 800-909-9287. And you can also get in on the match just for less than a minute now at WBUR.org.
Just like a soccer game, though, you know, when you get extended play at the end of it, we're getting an extra minute on the match till 8:31 this morning. So
I must have had a penalty.
We have 90 seconds to go now in the match. 1-800-909-9287 or give it WBUR.org. Your pledge doubled only for another 90 seconds.
And where's Mike with his magic iPad? Where are we overall in what we're trying
about
to do this morning?
About $35,000 to raise between now and 9 o'clock in the morning when we stop fundraising altogether because of the impeachment hearings.
Yeah, look, we can do this.
And that's our live coverage.
That means we've, you know, like something like 50,000 has come in this morning. We came here real early and we're astonished to see you were there.
Now 32,000 to
Thank you. 1-800-909-9287 WBUR.org. We can do this. Look what we've already done this morning. We can do this and then be ready to sit back and have a front row seat on this historic moment in our country. 1-800-909-9287 WBUR.
Match money expiring in less than a minute, Jay.
We're going to review quickly the fundraising for the day ending at 9 o'clock so we can bring you uninterrupted live coverage of the next impeachment hearing on Capitol Hill. 9 o'clock this morning, also the deadline to get your name in to maybe win a couple tickets to see Elton John in London, along with hotel room and airfare. That's next November. You are available. I already checked your calendar. And just one, call it 30 seconds left, to get in on the last dollar for dollar match of the morning so that your contribution at WBUR goes twice as far as it would on its own. Here's the number, 800-909-9287.
Don't make us say it.
Nope, 800-909-9287 and WBUR.org.
Don't make us say it. Don't go breaking our hearts. 1-800-909-9287.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Boston Foundation. Boston thrives when smart, generous people commit to solving the big problems. Open a donor-advised fund at the Boston Foundation and solve the problems you care about most. Learn more at tbf.org/partner. And Lake Champlain Chocolates, handcrafting chocolate gifts to celebrate the season at local specialty food stores and at lakechamplainchocolates.com.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Dave Mattingly. On Capitol Hill this morning, the House Judiciary Committee holds its second impeachment hearing. NPR's Claudia Grisales says it will lay the groundwork for articles of impeachment against President Trump for his dealings with Ukraine.
The Judiciary Committee will lay out its framework for potential impeachment of President Trump, followed by evidence presented by the House Intelligence Committee. The articles of impeachment could be drawn up later this week, followed by a floor vote next week. Judiciary Chairman Jerry Nadler said on CNN Sunday that if this was a traditional court trial, the president would be convicted quickly.
I think the case we have, if presented to a jury, would be a guilty verdict in about 3 minutes flat.
Republicans on the Judiciary and Intelligence panels are hoping to knock down that narrative with their presentations today. Claudia Grisales, NPR News, Washington.
Also today, the Justice Department's Inspector General, Michael Horowitz, releases his findings about the origins of the FBI's investigation into President Trump and Russia. It's separate from the investigation being led by U.S. Attorney John Durham. The FBI says last week's deadly shooting at the Pensacola Naval Air Station in Florida is being investigated as an act of terrorism. The gunman was a second lieutenant in the Royal Saudi Air Force who was receiving flight training in the U.S. He killed three sailors before being shot to death by a sheriff's deputy. This is NPR News from Washington.
This is 90.9 WBUR. Good morning. I'm Bob Oakes in Boston. In the news, Democratic presidential candidate Senator Elizabeth Warren has released info about her past corporate legal work following a call to do so from 2020 rival Mayor Pete Buttigieg. Warren says she earned nearly $2 million on cases dating back to 1985. In turn, Warren has criticized Buttigieg for not releasing information on his work for a consulting company. Buttigieg says he's bound by a non-disclosure agreement. Federal court arraignment in Boston today for three men accused of being members of the Latin Kings gang. The men were among more than 60 alleged gang members arrested last week in a sweep around the state. Charges against them include racketeering.
The Provincetown police officer, known by locals and visitors as the Dancing Cop, has died. Police say Officer Donald Thomas died this weekend. Thomas joined the force in 1947, and since the 1970s has been known for dancing while directing traffic. Officer Donald Thomas was 92 years old. Sports: New England Patriots record has dropped to 10-3 on the season with last night's loss to the Kansas City Chiefs 23-16. WBUR's Chris Siderick reports the officiating became a focus of the game.
The stadium was rocking for the showdown between two of the best teams in the AFC, but it was the refs that became the story. Two calls, one reversed and one clearly disputable, took points off the board for the Pats and effectively ended their second half comeback. After the game, Coach Bill Belichick declined to comment on the officiating.
A lot of the circumstances in the game, no point in talking about those, but hopefully we've got a lot of football left and see if we can get back on track next week.
As we've heard around these parts before, it's on to Cincinnati. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Chris Siderick at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough.
Tonight on the ice, the Bruins visit the Ottawa Senators. The Celtics are at home tonight at the Garden to play the Cleveland Cavaliers. Forecast: wet but warm today and tomorrow. It'll be in the 50s today, tonight, and tomorrow. Showers this morning will turn into steady rain later today. Tomorrow the rain ends. However, early Wednesday, sleet and snow will move in, and there could be several inches accumulating. Sunny skies for Thursday and Friday, and it'll be in the 30s Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. In Boston now, 43 degrees. 37 in Worcester, 38 degrees in Lowell, and 48 degrees in Plymouth at 837.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by Plymouth Rock Assurance, offering customers a ride home through their Get Home Safe program. Learn more at PlymouthRock.com. C3.ai. C3.ai software enables organizations to use artificial intelligence at enterprise scale, solving previously unsolvable business problems. Learn more at C3.ai. And TIAA, committed to the idea that while most things in life run out, from clean shirts in the morning to a favorite dessert at night, lifetime income in retirement shouldn't. Learn more at TIAA.org/neverrunout.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Rachel Martin. Good morning. The next Olympics are this summer in Tokyo. Russia will not be there. This morning, the World Anti-Doping Agency banned Russia from global sports for the next 4 years. This is punishment for that country's systemic and widespread athlete doping program. We've got NPR sports correspondent Tom Goldman with us to talk about this decision. Hi, Tom.
Good morning.
What more can you tell us about how the Anti-Doping Agency came to this decision?
Well, I will tell you that 12 members of the World Anti-Doping Agency, or WADA, we're going to say WADA from now on because the other is a mouthful, 12 members of the WADA Executive Committee unanimously agreed to these sanctions that the WADA president, Craig Reedy, described as a robust response to the latest Russian infractions. And if these sanctions stand up to appeal, Russia will be banned for 4 years from competing in and hosting prominent global sporting competitions, including Olympics, World Cup, World Championships, Paralympics, Youth Olympic Games. Now, Craig Reedy said the WADA Executive Committee has responded in the strongest possible terms. And this is, in fact, the toughest punishment handed down in this doping scandal, which has been rolling along for about 5 years.
So what does this mean for Russian athletes who have, I mean, I just have to imagine for many of them, this is a lifelong dream to compete in these next upcoming Olympics?
Well, if they have any connection to doping, this means they're out. But, you know, this also means that, you know, when we say that Russia's being banned, not exactly the case, because Russian athletes that have no role in the scandal, who are deemed clean, will be able to compete under these sanctions that were approved today. And this is what's happened in the past two Olympics. Remember, there was a contingent like this at the Rio de Janeiro Summer Games in 2016. And at last year's Winter Olympics in South Korea in Pyeongchang, 168 Russians competed. And they were supposed to be neutral, although it said on the front of their uniforms, Olympic athletes from Russia.
Oh, it did say Russia. Yeah, they're not competing under the Russian flag.
Right. Not so neutral, right?
Right.
So the Russian flag and anthem were banned. And if you remember, after the man won, the Russian man won the Olympic hockey competition, they and their Russian fans in the stands drowned out the Olympic anthem with the banned Russian anthem. It was a "here's what we think of your band" moment. So, and Rachel, I should add that critics say that this exemplifies Russian attitude, that the country has never admitted the widespread doping system, and that the only way to achieve real culture change when it comes to doping, to deter Russia, is to have a complete ban on Russian athletes, including the innocent ones. That's a tough one. WADA and the International Olympic Committee won't go for that, and WADA did not today, in
fact.
Right.
So what does happen next? You mentioned an appeal?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Russia has 21 days to appeal this decision to the Court of Arbitration for Sport. It's expected that will happen. As I mentioned, officials in Russia continue to deny wrongdoing, and, you know, so it's expected they will appeal, and they may win.
All right. NPR sports correspondent Tom Goldman on this recent decision by the World Anti-Doping Agency to ban Russia from all global sports for the next 4 years. Tom, thanks. We appreciate it.
You bet.
This is 90.9 WBUR. Bob Oakes, Jay Clayton, and Robin Young here, and we're going right back to the news in a couple of minutes. But first, we need to let you know that it's 8:41 in the morning, so less than 20 minutes to go in fundraising, because we're stopping the WBUR year-end fundraiser at 9 o'clock this morning to bring you live coverage of the impeachment hearings on Capitol Hill. We're trying to raise this morning an entire day's worth of fundraising in just a few hours before 9 o'clock. But now, those few hours have shrunk down to 19 minutes to go. We've had a great morning so far, thanks to everyone who's called, but we still need to raise $27,000 in the next 19 minutes.
Okay.
And we're asking you to do your part. If you can give a $100 pledge, if you were going to do it at the end of the year, if you were going to put WBUR on the list of organizations that you support at the end of the year, then do it and make the pledge now while you still can. Help us out this morning when we have a tall goal and only a few minutes left. The number is 1-800-909-9287 or give at WBUR.org.
1-800-909-9287, WBUR.org. Think of everything you've heard on Morning Edition already as we wait for these hearings at 9 o'clock. You had the interview with Joe Biden on his malarkey bus, and you had just now the banning of the Russian, the ban on Russians in international sports. We're going to hear a lot more about that. The passing of Big Bird's best friend, which is how we're putting it. All the news that we bring to you. The Justice Department Inspector General report expected to come. You got a little bit of the setting of the table on that. We're just asking that you go to the phone, and you have. You have. You've been incredible.
Well, other people have.
Other people have. But, you know, I know that feeling of like, yeah, this is great. We've got it down from something like over 80,000 to just over a little over 20. We? Who's this we? 1-800-909-9287 if you want to be a part of the we, or WBUR.org.
800-909-9287 again, or WBUR.org. Just 17 minutes left until we bring you live coverage of the impeachment hearings from Capitol Hill. We close down the fundraiser to do that. That means we've got to raise all of the rest of today's goal, about $24,000 more before 9 o'clock. So give 100, give 1,000, give whatever you can. 9 o'clock is also your last opportunity to get your contribution in and automatically get a chance to win tickets to see Elton John at one of his final shows in his Farewell Yellow Brick Road tour. That'll be in London next November. We're including airfare and hotel for your trip, you and the person that you want to take with you. But if you want a chance to win that, we need to hear from you with your contribution, we hope, before 9 o'clock this morning. Just 17 minutes to go. 800-909-9287 is the number to call. 800-909-9287. And, of course, you can give a at WBUR.org.
Now, just 16 minutes to go, Che, because it's 8:44 in the morning. $23,000 to raise in that amount of time. You know, we've taken a bunch of $1,000 gifts in this morning. Can you give $1,000 to WBUR right now and help us out?
And you have 22 friends who can do the same.
Or can you give $50 or $100 or $200? It really doesn't matter what amount you give. It only matters that you become a contributing listener and that you give the money that you're going to help pay for the news with right now at 1-800-909-9287 or give at WBUR.org. Again, fundraising stops at 9 so that we can bring you the impeachment hearings. We need your help.
1-800-909-9287 or, as I futilely and occasionally say, because for some reason we never say this, if you forget and you get to the phone, it's 1-800-909-WBUR or WBUR.org. However you remember it, however you do it, please do it by 9 o'clock because it really will help us in this goal of making our year-end expenses. 1-800-909-9287-WBUR.org.
And just give us a call or go to the web. It'll take you just about 2 minutes. We've got 15 minutes left before we bring you the hearings. We stop the fundraising then. We've got about 21,000 to go.
Okay.
So just chip in whatever part of that you can give at 800-909-9287 or at WBUR.org. Just 15 minutes to go on your chance to possibly win those tickets to see Elton John in London.
Again.
One of the final shows in his farewell tour, and you could be there on us if you win. 15 more minutes to get in on this, 15 more minutes of fundraising, and that's it for today. So call 1-800-909-9287. Or you can give at WBUR.org.
And let's say it again. We have two tickets to see Elton John on his farewell tour in London that we're giving away. The tour, the concert is next year, but the deadline to enter the drawing to get in on the ticket giveaway is 9 o'clock this morning now, only 14 minutes away. 14 minutes for you to get in on the drawing, 14 minutes for you to pledge for the news on WBUR, and then that's it. Fundraising suspended so we can go to Capitol Hill and bring you the impeachment hearings. Now is the time to take a chance on the tickets. Now is the time to pledge for the news. The phone number to call right now is 1-800-909-9287 or to give right now at WBUR.org.
And that concert may be next year, but I'm betting it's sold out. 1-800-909-9287. Take a chance.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping public radio advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. Informed communities essential for healthy democracy. KnightFoundation.org. And Cityside Subaru on Route 60 in Belmont, celebrating the season of giving with Subaru's Share the Love event through January 2nd.
In Bostonomics business, Needham-based TripAdvisor is paying $51 million to acquire the New York-based restaurant marketing company Single Platform. Single Platform helps eateries publish menus and other information on websites such as OpenTable, Google, and Facebook. The CEO of the Quincy-based women's clothing retailer, J. Jill Linda Heelsey, is stepping down after less than 2 years on the job. The move follows a disappointing third-quarter report for J. Jill that saw a sales drop by 5% compared to the same period last year. J. Jill says board member Jim Scully will serve as the interim CEO. This is WBUR. It's 8:48.
Funding for WBUR's business report comes from Carbonite, protecting email, spreadsheets, calendars, and more with Carbonite because businesses can stop when they lose data. Carbonite, cloud backup for small businesses.
This is WBUR. I'm Bob Oakes. One of the goals for recreational marijuana stores that first opened in Massachusetts just over a year ago was to eliminate the risks of pot sold on the black market illegally. But as licensed stores struggle to meet demand, illegal sales continue. Reporter Nancy Cohen has our story.
Another cannabis store is getting ready to open in Massachusetts.
Tincture boxes, gummy chews boxes, and some examples of how we package our flower as well.
That's Brandon Pollock, CEO of Theory Wellness, pointing out a display in his soon-to-be-open store in Chicopee. But getting enough weed is a challenge.
It's a very difficult market right now to purchase wholesale cannabis to then sell to customers.
His company already owns another recreational store and two medical dispensaries, along with a cultivation facility.
We've seen continued growth month after month. Every day we have, say, 50% returning customers and 50% new customers.
Pollock says when Massachusetts rolled out the recreational market a year ago, cultivation facilities like his were still set up to serve medical customers, a much smaller market. So now they supplement what they grow by buying wholesale when it's available. By law, they can only buy from licensed growers in Massachusetts.
You can get into bidding war situations or just sort of these first-come, first-serve situations where it's difficult to find what you're looking for at times.
But the supply problem isn't stopping new stores from opening. The marijuana company INSA just opened a new one in Salem.
So we have the Incredibles Peanut Butter Buddha Bar.
At INSA's East Hampton store, a customer is buying an edible, pre-rolled joints, and more.
Okay, so your total is going to be $186?
INSA CFO Peter Gallagher says most of the time he limits sales to only a quarter of an ounce of flower at a time, even though the state allows sales of up to 1 ounce. Gallagher says other retailers are doing the same.
That's indicative of a market that is undersupplied.
He says part of the challenge is growing pot legally doesn't happen overnight.
It takes time, you know. If you think about how long it took us to go from proof of concept to licensed and cultivating, and then from cultivating to harvesting, and with finished supply available, that took us over 2 years.
Demand is so great. INSA doubled its cultivation capacity in August, and now it's doubling it again. The supply shortage got worse this fall after the state banned vaping cartridges, which were 20% to 30% of legal purchases. Some vaping customers shifted to the black market. Others stuck with the stores and started buying flower instead. Gallagher says the supply is also stymied by a bottleneck during required testing. There are only 2 licensed testing labs in the state. At CDX Analytics in Salem, laboratory assistant Kate Stablanko is preparing a sample for testing by grinding it using a mortar and pestle. The distinct scent of marijuana wafts into the air.
It takes some getting used to, but I worked at a brewery before this, so I'm used to smelling like recreational substances after work.
Pot that's sold in stores in Massachusetts must be tested for things like pesticides, bacteria, yeast, mold, and potency.
Demand for testing in the past year has been crazy.
Brian Strasnick, president and CEO of the lab, says demand for testing went from 15 to 20 samples a day under the medical program to 4,000 a month after adult use started.
I see that as only exploding as more and more cultivators and dispensers come on board and become licensed.
Strasnick says there have been times when it could take up to 4 weeks for his lab to do a complete set of tests, but he's addressing that. When the first adult retailer opened up, his lab was running 1 shift a day. Now it's running 3.
If there were more hours in the day, we would probably run 4 shifts. When I started, I didn't realize how much the demand was going to be.
Steve Hoffman, the chair of the Cannabis Control Commission, says new testing labs are in the process of getting licensed. And he says the testing time is quicker now.
It's down to a couple of days, so I'm not convinced that there really is a supply shortage right now.
In most industries, a supply shortage would lead to price increases. In the case of legal pot, prices have stayed pretty much the same since the first retailers opened a year ago, mostly about $300 to $400 an ounce, plus taxes. Unlike other industries, though, the stores are competing with an illegal market, where prices are lower, between about $150 and $280 an ounce. Hoffman says it will always cost more on the legal market because of taxes and the cost of regulations and testing, something he says people want.
They know exactly what they're getting in terms of potency. They know exactly what they're getting in terms of lack of chemicals and pesticides. And I think people are going to be willing to pay a premium just to do something legal rather than illegal.
Hoffman says the legal industry is still young, so it's hard to measure its effect on the black market.
I would be willing to wager that it's been a relatively small impact, given that we have 30 retail stores open right now.
More than half are in Worcester County and West.
I would say probably more than 50% of consumers in Massachusetts are still buying illegally.
Kamani Jefferson of the Massachusetts Recreational Consumer Council.
whether it's because A, the prices are too expensive, or B, some of these dispensaries are too far. People are like, why do I need to drive an hour or two to get it where I can just go to the same person I've been getting it from, who lives 5 minutes away?
The legal market has begun to normalize the use of marijuana. But one Western Mass resident who did not want to be named as he buys and sells on the illegal market says the black market may increase because of the legal stores.
As more and more people fall in love with marijuana and their pocketbooks are hurting, it's going to actually spill more people into the black market.
But licensed pot retailers don't foresee a drop in demand. Their focus is having enough stores and supply to feed it. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Nancy Cohen.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the United Church of Christ, living the inclusive love and justice of Jesus. Find a church at ucc.org. And Boathouse, presenting Catholic Charities of Boston. In uncertain times, kindness toward a single person can make a difference. With your help, Catholic Charities can empower 165,000 people in Boston who need it most. Make our community stronger. Donate today at ccab.org/donate.
Says 90.9 WBUR. Bob Oakes, Robin Young, and Jay Clayton here for just a couple of minutes. We can see that committee members, staff members, lawmakers, and journalists all gathering on Capitol Hill right now for the start of the latest impeachment committee hearings, which begin in just a few minutes at 9 o'clock. We stop fundraising in a few minutes at 9 o'clock to bring you live coverage. We're asking you to give to WBUR for the news, for the live coverage, and all the news before we go to the coverage at 1-800-909-9287. That's the pledge line. Give there or give at WBUR.org. Last chance as well to get in on the drawing for the Elton John concert tickets in London next year. Two tickets, airfare, hotel. We stop taking entries as we go to the news at 9 o'clock. So take a chance on winning the tickets by giving to the news right now.
1-800-909-9287, WBUR.org. Yeah, we did that on purpose. You know, we had these tickets to give, and we are giving them now because we're hoping that you'll go to the phone right now. Because our time is short. 1-800-909-9287, WBUR.org. You're probably going to be listening online all day as you go to work, taking us with you, you know, in your whatever your device is. Look at all the ways that we can bring news to you. We're just asking you to help, and help now in particular because we have to stop to bring you that. We have to stop asking you to help in order to bring you that news. 1-800-909-9287, WBUR.org. And people have been fantastic.
Yes, it's been a great morning so far.
It's exactly 8:57 in the morning, right. Only 3 minutes to go.
Right.
800-909-9287 is the number to call. 800-909-9287 or WBUR.org. Final 3 minutes before the hearings for you to get your contribution in. Last 3 minutes when you could, with your contribution, win these tickets to see Elton John in London. I promised you that we would tell you the story of the song Daniel, the secret story, if we meet our goal. We're pretty close.
Right.
Not there yet. We still need your help. But we'll tell you the story anyway. You know the song. He's singing about his brother who travels to Spain, but they never tell you why he's going to Spain. So there was a last verse that Bernie Taupin, Elton's songwriting partner, wrote for this song that Elton never recorded because he thought the song was too long to begin with. The verse reveals that his brother was coming back from Vietnam to America, never found peace in America, and that is why he traveled to Spain.
Yeah.
So now you know.
Daniel.
Maybe he'll sing that live if you get to see him.
And maybe he'll sing that verse.
Yeah.
1-800-909-9287, WBUR.org.
It's 8:58 in the morning, only 2 minutes left to get in on the drawing for the Elton John concert tickets in London next year. Just 2 minutes left. If you start the call now, you're in on the drawing. 1-800-909-9287 or give and get in on the drawing at WBUR.org. You're pledging for the news. We stop taking entries for the tickets at 9. We go to the news at 9, the Capitol Hill impeachment hearings. Give right now.
1-800-909-9287. You guys have been fantastic. We needed something like $80,000. We're almost there. unbelievable. Thank you so much. But if you haven't called, 1-800-909-9287.
800-909-9287.
Very last chance. Very last chance right now. 1 minute away from 9 o'clock. The number to call, 1-800-909-9287. Or give for the news at WBUR.org.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Academy at Penguin Hall, the only all-girls college prep school north of Boston where girls blaze trails. Accepting priority applications, penguinhall.org. And Boston University Wheelock College of Education and Human Development's graduate programs in educational leadership and policy studies. bu.edu/Wheelock.
You're listening to 90.9 WBUR FM Boston,
92.7 WBUA Tisbury,
89.1 WBUH Brewster,
streaming at WBUR.org,
and live at City Space, Boston's new home for public conversation.
WBUR, Boston's NPR news station.